Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I'd to just introduce myself to you as a man to a man. God made man, you see, and equal privileges were given to each man, you see. There's no difference between a man and another man. The difference lies only in the fact that a certain man has dwelt in a certain way and he has become an adept in that way. The people who would like to learn that way, he will be competent to just guide them in that particular line in which he has just qualified himself, you see. I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master in India, Baba Saman Singh Maharaj, at whose feet I had the good fortune to learn the mystery of life, what it is, and how to solve it. God made man, and man made social religions. Social religions were made for the uplift of man. Man was not made for social religions, mind that. It is the social religions that were made for man. We had to make the best use of them. Just as Christ said, man is not born for Sabbath day. Sabbath was made for man, you see. So we have to make the best use of the social religions we are professing. Man is social and is therefore has to follow in sub-social bodies. The purpose of all social religions is to uplift man so as he may know himself and know God. That's the chief aim of all religions. To know God is the goal of all religions. He is the God of all, whether they are theists or atheists, you see. Ever since the world began, the masters have been coming to the world and speaking about God. God cannot be described in words. Cannot be, I would say, scaled within this small, what you say, the scale of our intellect, finite intellect, you see. But however, whenever these masters who came in the past, they solved the mystery of life, they knew who were they. They had the first experience with themselves by self-analysis, and came in contact with God. They, whatever experiences they had of the God, naturally they gave out in their holy sayings. And those holy sayings or utterings they made, they formed the subject matter of our scriptures. Ever since the world began, the masters have been coming, speaking about God, and telling about the various experiences they had while coming in contact with God. So whenever the masters went away, another master came up just to revive that old science of knowing oneself and knowing God. Old Greeks had that very ideal before them, and they put forth the motto, "Know thyself." That is the first thing to be realized. Unless you know yourself, you cannot know God. Self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. Who we are, what we are. All masters had to say the same thing whenever they came. So all whatever they said, they formed the subject matter of so many scriptures now at our hand. Had we come, say, 100 years back, the masters who came in India, within that period, we would not have, before that period, we would not have the scriptures they have left for us. Let us go back still further, and if he had come, say, 500 years back, we would not have the holy scriptures of the Sikhs. Still further, if we go back, had you come before 1500 years back, we would not have the Quran of the Prophet Muhammad. Had we come even before 2000 years back, we would not have had this Bible with us. Still further, if we had come before 5 or 6 thousand years, before the valuable records of the Prophet Zoroaster and Lord Buddha would not have been with us. So these all these scriptures taken together are the so many pages of the Book of God that have been written, and there may be many more to be written. Whenever the masters will be coming, you see, they will be explaining all this in their own words, you see. But still, whatever they say, that subject remains still unsaid. Guru Nanak says that some people have come, some prophets, seers, sages, rishis of the old, some just spoke of his almightiness. He is almighty. Some said, well, he remains somewhere in the heavens like that. Others explained that he is immanent in every form. Further, other people said that, well, God resides in every heart. Well, this is one of the very few qualifications of God. God still remains unsaid, you see. Guru Nanak says, if all the masters, seers, sages and rishis who have come in the past, the same number may come more even now and speak of God, you see, continuously, without a break, even then the subject of God will remain unsaid. Because that cannot be brought in words, you see. Suppose, for instance, if you eat a mango, very sweet. You have tasted it. You want to just express it. How will you express? Tell me. There are no words. You'll try to give examples, it is sweet like that, it is sweet like that. Maulana Rum, a Mohammedan saint, says, when I come in contact with God, I feel sweetness, ineffable, indescribable, just as the honey is just put on the skin. Well, how will you understand, you see? Another saint, Mohammedan, he says, well, Farid, by name, well, when I take the name of God, I feel sweetness, like, he says, sugar. He says, like the sweet milk of a buffalo, you see. Then he says, no, silver it is just like honey. He says, no, still more, something like that. He gives some examples to show, but still that's how sweet God is, you cannot express. I may give you another example. Suppose you are love somebody, he's your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. He is very beautiful, very sweet, very attractive, with all that. Are there any words to express that sweetness that you feel? Well, it is not given to words to express the feelings of the heart or the experiences that you have within yourself by coming in contact with God, you see. Those masters who came in the past, they gave some description just to explain, bring home some idea of the great reality supporting, maintaining all creation. And with all that what they have said, still the subject remains unsaid. The masters who came in the past, they said, well, you remember what Walter Whitman said? He said, when I attempt to just say something, speak of something of the reality, he says, I speak, but I cannot. I become a dumb man, you see. How to express? So anyhow, all masters, sages, rishis who came in the past, they are one, that there is some great reality, one truth, which is the cause and supporting of all creation. That creation, creator, is more beautiful than all creation, you see. To see God, to come in contact with God, is the highest ideal or the aim of a man's life. So all the scriptures that are at our command, they are the fine records of the first-hand experiences they had with themselves first and then with God. What factors were found as helping factors on the way and what simply retarded their way. So all these things are summed up in the holy sayings of all the masters who came in the past. Though they related those in the language then prevalent when they came, you see. Language is different of all the scriptures. The way they express, they are also peculiar to themselves, but the subject matter that they speak of is the same. So we have respect, the lovers of God have respect for all seers, of all sages, of all masters who came in the past, because they spake as inspired by God. They became the mouthpiece of God. For that reason, because we love God, and they had first an experience of God and God spake through them, that is why we have respect for all masters who came in the past. We have also respect for all the scriptures we have got at our command, at our hands today. We are most fortunate in the 20th century that we have scriptures. All the first-hand experiences of all those masters who came in the past, they had with themselves and with God. Now by their comparative study, we find that they are all one. In just worshipping God, they say there is one God which is our aim in life. The archers may be many, but the target is the same. We may belong to one social religion or the other, but we are all worshippers of God. Well, what the commandments say? Love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is what all others, masters, said in their own language, in their own scriptures, now with us. And further they say, God resides in every heart, because we love God, and God resides in every heart, we love all humanity, irrespective of the fact whether they belong to one country or the other, one social religion or the other social religion. So when we are worshippers of the same God, we are brothers in faith. Fatherhood of God, by believing fatherhood of God, naturally we believe in the brotherhood of man. So all masters who are to come, they said the same thing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And Prophet Muhammad said, we are the members of the same family of God. Guru Nanak said, well, he is the only father we have. We are to worship him. So they are all one. These two commandments, you see, if we just live up to these two commandments, there will be peace on earth. When you love a man from the bottom of your heart, can you kill him? Can you steal him, you see, rob him of his wealth? Can you do any harm to him? Not the least. On these two commandments hang on all other commandments. On these two commandments, I have said, hang on all teachings of all masters who came in the past. They are all one. If we but live up to these two commandments, we will bring the kingdom of God on earth. There will be no fear of the atomic age. We are each country dreading now. If it so happens, this war goes, well, there is destruction of all humanity. There was a grand meeting, conference in Europe some years back, of all scientists, you see. The president stood up and said, we have got control over the forces of nature. Before knowing our own selves and knowing God. That is why all these inventions are being used for the destruction of man. Had we known our own self and known God, before we found out the laws of nature and made other inventions, all these would have gone for the uplift of man. So this is the social form of the religion, that man has to adopt, I say, for a safe journey back home, you see. To live in some social religion is a blessing. It is a blessing. Because otherwise, if you are going to revolt, there will be corruption in the world, you see. Social religions are a help, are the preparatory grounds for knowing yourself and knowing God, that the ultimate goal is social religion has got before that, you see. Now the question remains, God made man and his social religion is comprised of men, and God gave equal privileges to all men alike. It is not that one man has got some more concession as compared with the other. All have got two eyes, 2 ears out of formation of the man body is the same, and the inner construction of the man body is the same. And the disease they are suffering, I would say, their souls are under the control of mind. Mind is swayed by the organs of sense, our outgoing faculties. We are identified with the bodies and the outward environment so much so that we cannot differentiate who we are, what we are. To reach God, to know God, to see God, well, the first step we have to take is to know our own self. For the reason so to know God, you see, the first step that we have to take is to know ourselves first. For the reason that it is the soul that has to realize or see God or know God. Neither the intellect, nor the mind, nor the organs of sense, you see. Unless you know yourself, you cannot know God. That's why. For that, the Upanishads say that our body should be stilled, our mind should be stilled, our intellect should also be stilled. Only you will have some knowledge of your own self. When you know a drop of water, you will be in a position to know what can an ocean be to some extent, you see. God is all consciousness, a limitless ocean of all consciousness, I would say, and our souls being of the same essence as that of God, it is also conscious. We are all conscious entities, you see. And our conscious being is just enveloped, I would say, in the vesture of the body, physical body, so much so, we have become identified with it that we cannot now differentiate who we are, what we are. If you ask some child, you see, of 3 or 4 years, where you are, who you are, see, what will he do? He simply opens his mouth and opens his eyes. See? He has some consciousness still that he knows he is somewhere here, you see. But as we grow in years, we become so much, so much identified with the body, that we cannot differentiate ourselves. We say, who you are? We say, well, I am Mr. Joseph, I am Mr. Campbell, you see. I am Mr. Ram or Singh. So to know oneself is the one thing before us. How to know ourselves? Before that, coming to that subject, we will just consider calmly, then what are the higher values of life? We must know first man, the outer man and the inner man. About the outer man I have told you just now that religions, man being social, he has to live in some social religion so that his earthly life may pass in peace, so that he may become a good world citizen. His self should expand to embrace all men alike, you see. He should love God, love all humanity. There will be peace on earth. His earthly sojourn will pass in all smoothness, you see, and peaceful. The other side is, well, we look to the outer man, this man body, 5 or 6 feet high, what it is, who we are, what we are. You see with your eyes that such like bodies, time does come when something leaves it, which is now working through it, you see. At the time of death, or I would say the day of the great final change, that is no bugbear, that is merely a change, you see. Just as I have come from India, you see, I am no more in India, but still I am alive. Similarly, when we leave this body, the indweller of the house is gone, he has to go somewhere, body is left inert, and that is according to the customs of the various social religions, they are put underground, consumed in the flames of fire, or just drowned in waters, you see. So that which leaves this body at the time of death and is now working in the body we are now carrying, we have to know that self, you see, that we are really. You see, unless this mystery applies, what it is that leaves the body, it is now dwelling in the body, unless we know that, that is our true self, you see. When we know that self, we will be able to know the over self, which you call God, you see. You remember the life, in the life of Buddha, the enlightened. He was just to visit some town in his territory, he was a prince, you see. When arrangements were made on a grand scale to receive him, and they decorated the city all over, and when he was there, you see, he was moving on a chariot. The charioteer was driving, you see. On the way, they saw one old man with a haggard face and sunken eyes, very weak, with a staff in hand. He could not walk properly and staggered even by this, even he had this hold of the staff in his hand, you see. He simply saw that such a man that day. He asked the question, what it is? He was told that this man body that we are carrying becomes old and feeble, you see, thin. He was stuck. Further he went, he saw a man was just gasping for breath, passing through the agony of death. He asked what it is. He was told, well, he died. Naturally, this further took further possession of his mind. What is dying? What is leaving? The charioteer, considering that the prince was brought to the town just for recreation and amusement, he is growing sad and pensive, he took him round outside of the city, you see. Then he went out of the city, unfortunately, I would say, he saw four men just carrying the corpse of a dead body. Then again asked what it is. He was told that, well, this is dead body and the indweller is gone, you see. It further stopping, you see, what it is. So beautiful body I am carrying, and that it meets with this fate, and each one has to meet with this fate. There is no exception to the rule in the world, you see. When an eviction order is issued, well, that is carried out at any cost, but it may be that that honor may be delayed, execution thereof may be delayed, or might be postponed if some influence is just exercised. But when this eviction order from God or Hadish is issued, there is no exception to do. All have to go. Just think, from the very commencement, when the world commenced, so far, limitless number of people were coming, kings, subjects, poor, rich people, influential people, even the masters, prophets, all did come, but left the body here and they went. When even the masters who took the body, they had to leave the body. What to speak of ourselves, there can be no exception in our case. There is no escape from death, but death is no bugbear, but still we have to solve this mystery of life, what it is that illumines this body at this moment of our life, what it is that when it leaves this body, dust thou out and then to dust shalt thou return. That is the mystery of the life, you see, mystery of life. When one that takes possession of the mind of a man, that is the greatest day of the man's life, because that will find out some solution somewhere. Well, Buddha came back to his home, which is said that very night his son was born to him. That is the, to a worldly man, it is a very happy day. But he had no joy, no happiness, because that question of the mystery of life, what it is that leaves this body, that was, had taken the possession of his mind fully. He left the home, went to the wilderness to find out the solution of the mystery of life. So we have to see now, to know ourselves, who we are, what we are. Well, about the outer body, we know it is a 5-6 feet high statue we are carrying, you see. That is also very, I think, a gift from God, you see. It is a true temple of God, in which God resides. We have to maintain it, of course. You see, keep it clean from outside. Cleanliness is next to godliness, but we have to keep it also clean from within. Outer temples, how clean we keep them from outside and inside. Those are only made by the hand of man, after the image of man, dome-shaped and nose-shaped. But that true temple is our own body that we are carrying, you see. Those who have defiled this temple of God, they are punished. This is what the Bible says. Anyhow, this is one side of the show. That is, I am just telling the man body, the highest of all creation that we are we are having now. But we will have to leave it someday, that's the point. Have we solved this mystery of life, what it is that leaves? Do we know who we are, what we are? Can we analyze ourselves from the body at will? Once it so happened in
Lahore, now in Punjab, in India, you see, a young man died. His body was taken to the cremation place. And some 300-400 people were there. The body was laid on the ground. They asked me to give some talk at the moment, you see. I told him, well, look here, it is a body just like as you are carrying. Simply the difference lies that something has left that body and that is now still working in you. This fate awaits every man, irrespective to what religion, to what country he belongs, you see. I asked him, are you prepared for this change? If so, well and good. If not, just be prepared. How to leave the body? Saint Paul said, lost enemy that we have to conquer, that we have to conquer is death. How to conquer that? What is death? Death is no bugbear. It is simply a change. You see? The indweller of the house is gone. You see? You have to leave this physical body, transcend it, go where we know not so far. If we know ourselves who we are, by practical self-analysis, then we will be able to know where it goes as well. But we are living in the world as it were. We are the body itself, nothing more. We are looking to the world from the angle of the body and not the soul, you see. The matters have become very complicated, I would say. We are in a grand delusion. Just think for a moment, I would say, how? The learned are the unlearned. The rich are the poor. You see? King are the subject. Any of them, you see, is having this body now. He has to leave the body someday. Date not fixed, not known, you see. For instance, a student has to appear in some examination and that day draws near. What does he do? He leaves off all unnecessary routine of life, you see. He takes to what is going to help him for appearing in the examination, you see. When the date draws still near, say, week or so is left, what does he do? He simply leaves off playing also, you see. And sometimes when he goes to the calls of nature, he takes a book even along with him, then, you see, for an examination for which someday it is fixed. How cautious, how careful we are, but for a change that nobody can escape and for which no date is fixed, should we not prepare ourselves the earliest possible hour? And what is that preparation, you see? You must learn this withdrawal of the spirit from the body. This is a practical question to be learned at the feet of some who has got that first-hand experience and is competent to give you that experience. When you go to him, what does he say? He says, well, look here, man is composed of physical body, intellect, and soul. You develop physically, body is the temple of God. It's a very valuable thing. It's the highest of all creation. It is said in Quran of Prophet Muhammad that when creation was made, the man body was made and life was infused into it, man bodies. God ordered angels to pay homage, you see, to the man body. It is higher than the angels themselves, you see. This is a very golden opportunity that we have got, but we are now only what we are doing, see, just calmly consider all it. We do care for the outward cleanliness of the body, no doubt. But we care little or nothing for the inward cleanliness. We are defiling the body with the thoughts of lust, anger, greed, attachment, and aggressive life. Every moment we are polluting it, you see, instead of cleansing it from inside. That's one part of the self. And the other one is that just we have dwelt from the physical point of view. We have done so much, we have learned so much how to maintain our physical body and how to maintain our household's life, how to maintain our social bodies and political life. We have learned so much. Intellectually, we have also dwelt very wonderfully. We have made very great inventions. We have telepathy, we have got television. We can fly in the air at tremendous rate, speed. We have got telephones and so much. But just consider what we know about our own selves. You see? The physical body and the intellect both depend on soul in the body. When soul leaves the body, everything remains here. The first companion in our life that we have is the body. When we are born, we bring the body along with us. When we enter the world, that's the first companion that we have. But when we leave the body, this body is left here. When we go, the body is left here. Now consider for a moment, the first companion that we had while coming to the world that does not accompany us, how those things which have come in our contact through the body, can they accompany us? The least, not least. But we are now, see how we are acting in the world, you see. We are just behaving as if this body will remain forever. We never in dream think of that we have to leave the body someday. If we close our eyes, for instance, a pigeon, seeing a cat coming in front, he simply closes his eyes that there is no cat. Well, he will only know when he is in the claws of the cat. Similarly, if you do not care to remember that we have to leave the body someday, that day will come, must come, no exception to the world. So, but we are doing, what we are doing for that? We have done so much out of the 24 hours, you see. People meet me, I ask them, well, what time you are going to put in for that? He said, we have got no time, you see. Even when they are put on the way, I put in more time on this. Well, we have no, well, we have to earn money, we have to maintain our family, that's all right. Out of the 24 hours, now, work for your body. Put in 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, 20 hours for the maintenance of your families, your bodies, earning things, this and that thing. But at least you should do something for knowing your very self. Well, it is you who have to leave the body. At that time you do not know how to leave the body. You will be undergoing the agony, nobody else. And for that, you've got no time. You go to a businessman, he says, look here, I've got no time. You go some, who is doing some work in any shop or in government office, you ask him, he says, ah, he's got no time. Excuse me, those men who are on pension even, you go to them, they say, we have got no time. But you will find how important it is, the knowing of the oneself, but we care little or nothing for it. Our pursuit in the way of the spiritual advancement is simply confined. Just we attend church once a week, or read some lines of Bible or other holy scripture, and that's enough. Majority of the people going to attend church or other holy place of worship, if you go and ask them sincerely, well, what for are you coming over to the church or the holy place of worship? Why are you reading the scripture? You'll find in majority of the cases, they'll say, well, for the reason that, so that I may learn my livelihood, God may grant us and grant me that. My relative is sick so that he may be recover, and he may grant us the other things required for worldly life. For that reason we are going to the church. The majority of them will tell you like that. Well, such like people, even if they remember, they simply do that part of the show simply for the reason that they will have the worldly life. How many there are who really attend the holy places of worship or read the holy scriptures for the sake of knowledge, knowing oneself and knowing God, for the love of God, I say, very few. So see, you will see now their values of life. We have got the physical life, we have the intellectual life, we have the spiritual life. We have just overtopped our physical, intellectual side, even the self. Matter is riding the soul. Well, it was soul that had to ride the matter. The case is quite reversed. Horse was to be put in front of the cart, you see. We are putting cart in front of the horse when there is a tumult. Just think for a moment, you meet with some accident and you are wearing on a very beautiful apparel, very costly, and that is worn out, torn out. What you say? Well, I am saved. Don't fear. Rest assured. At another accident, which is an unfortunate, your leg or arm is broken. What you say? I am saved. You see, body is more valuable than the apparel we are wearing. When a man goes sick, there is very little hope of his life. One does say, all right, sell away all possessions, or spend all money in the banks so that I may recover. So body is more valuable than the possessions and all finances are with us. And life is more valuable than the body itself, you see. That is why I have to say, is not body more than the raiment? And life more than the meat? So there are values and values, you see. We have values for the physical life. Master, don't say that you do not care for the body. It is the temple of God. Maintain it, you see. You've got family, children, where God is eyes in every heart. You've got duties towards them. Well, perform them sincerely and love them. You've got intellect. You should develop intellectually also. But if you do not know yourself, you see, who will help you at the time when you leave the body, sometime, someday? At the last moment, you see, even the most sympathetic relation, maybe wife, husband, son, brother, daughter, friends, even doctors, they stand by, helpless, cannot help you. You are leaving the body, you are passing through the agony of death, and nobody knows, nobody is there to help you. It is said, you see, in the Quran of the Prophet Muhammad, that when soul leaves the body, pain is felt just like a thorny bush is put into the rectum and dragged out through the mouth. There's some simile, you see, comparison giving. The scriptures of the Hindus say, man feels pain at the time of death just like 1,000 scorpions bite at one moment. You are the eyewitness, you see. When a man dies, how he feels. Very rare cases you will find. He made the pass of calmly, peacefully. Otherwise they are at a loss. Sometimes they just have convulsions, eyes are upturned, face is sometimes yellow, some haggard, like that. How important it is. But how insignificant we have dealt with, you see. Very lightly we have taken that thing. That is why the masters who have been coming in the past, they have been just laying stress. Well, look here, your present life, you consider that you are on exile, you see. You have come on a pilgrimage to the earth. It is a temporary abode in which you are living. You have to leave it someday. No exception to the rule. Irrespective, you may belong to one country or the other, or one social union or the other. That is the mystery of life that you have to solve for your own self, you see. Unless you have solved that mystery of life for you are nowhere. Man's life consisted not in the abundance of the possessions he has got, you see. Is not, again I will repeat, life more than the meat and body more than the raiment. There are things of higher value than still higher value, you see. The most highest of all values that we have before us is our own self, knowledge of the self. Saint Plutarch says, the soul experience has the same experience at the time of death when leaving the body as those who are just initiated into the mysteries of the beyond. This is a fate which is awaiting each one of us without exception, you see. And are we prepared for this change? how can we withdraw our spirit, transcend the body at will, if we know that much practically, well, at the time of death we'll be going just as we are leaving one home and going out to somewhere else, you see. There will be no pain, you'll feel joy. Suppose you are transferred to some foreign land, what do you do? If that place is one which you have not seen before, naturally you'll just go through directories to tell you how will you be going on the foreign lands, you see, on what ships, what are the requirements, etc. like that. How careful we are, you see, in that way. But for an event which is inevitable, you see, we have to leave the body someday, each one of us. Do we know how to transcend the body? If we know now how to leave the body at will, then we put in more time to that way of life, you see. Naturally we will be prepared, you see. The sting of death will be no more. That is why, you see, understand the true prophets of life, who we are, what we are, and act accordingly. But we are acting quite in a different manner. We rise each day morning, and what we find? We just take up the bed tea, read some newspaper, say the calls of nature, and just take some food, breakfast, and go to our work, whether it is a shop or a service or whatever it is. All during the day you are working hard for earning money just to support yourself and to your and your family. You come in the evening, you just purchase something what is required for the family, you see, attending some doctors in case there is any sickness at home. Take the food at night, or just attend some meetings or some clubs and some cinemas. After that you go to sleep. Again the following morning you rise, the same routine repeats, you see. Well, see, out of the 24 hours, how much time we are putting in for our own self? That's the point. When people are asked, well, do you care for that way of your life? He says, I've got no time. That's the general question. Then when they are told, well, dear friend, you have to leave the body someday, well, we will die when the death comes, that's all. They are not taking that thing at home, you see. The true importance of that, they are not taking it at home. Result is what? We see with our eyes, you see, how strange, how grand a delusion we are all, each one of us is passing. We see with our eyes that such like bodies are being left by something now eliminating it. We have been the eyewitness to many cases. We have been sometimes attending the funerals of such bodies. We are sometimes helping to just put the such bodies underground as now. We are looking quite consciously. And with all that, it never strikes us that we have also to leave the body. Well, what more delusion could it possibly be? So we have to just consider the true values of life, you see. This is the first thing that we have to just consider calmly over it. We have to leave the body someday, you see. If we do not care by even seeing that much, attending such much, then who can be a man? You see, either he's not got his brains in order, I would say, are just a child, you see, who has no sense yet developed, you see. Either of the two must be. When you see the bodies are being left, and we are having the same similar bodies, we have also to leave the body. We are the indwellers of the body, not the body themselves. And if we do not work for it, well, how far we will continue to play like children, you see? After all, we have to leave this body. The Mormon saint says, we have dealt with our own self in a very, I say, indifferent way. He gives an example, as a blind man would not have dealt with himself, you see. We see, but we see not. Our eyes see, but we see not. It's a very clear thing, without any, the slightest ray of doubt that we have to leave the body somewhere. Well, if we have to leave the body somewhere, what to do? Man's highest aim in life is to know oneself and to know God. If while having man body, which is the highest of all creation, if we do not do this special work that we can do in man's body only and no other form of creation, who will call us a wise man, you see? If we are just, I have come here for 3 days or 4 days like that, well, I know I have to go. I live here, I will talk to everybody sweetly, live also somewhere, take my food too, but all the same I know I have to leave. You see, Hollywood, in 3 or 4 days' time. So I will be working here, but not attached to these things, you see, because I know I have to go, you see. That's certain. The other way it is also certain that we have to go. But how we are behaving? This body is a house in which we live in. We have to vacate it someday. We are caring so much about the body and its environments and outer attachments, at the cost of our own selves, I would say now. After all, we have to leave the body and go where? That naturally follows. But we do not care for all that. We will read scripture, actually. We will attend the holy place of worship. We will just doing from morn to night all other so many things, performing ceremony, this and that. With all that, we have not prepared ourselves how, when leaving the body, that experience can we have now. We should be able to leave the body at will 100 times a day, Kabir. The great saint of the East tells us, I die daily, you see. This is what the Bible says. Just learn to die so that you begin to live. I die daily. So this is something before us, and we have to just be prepared for that. We are just stuck fast in the physical body, just like a prisoner is stuck fast in a dungeon, you see. We cannot transcend now. What? Who can help us that way? Maulana Rum, a great master of the East, of the Mohammedans, tells us, well, all men are stuck fast in the body, physical bodies, they know not how to transcend. He said, who can help them to give them that practical experience of transcending the body, come about the body consciousness? He says, it is his master, I am prophet. Then he prays, O Lord, O God, send us such like masters who just give us a personal experience how to come above the body, rise above the body consciousness. This is a thing which is awaiting for each one of us, and unless we work up to that, live up to that, we have that personal experience in life, how to transcend the body, and by regular practice we can come above the body, well, the fear of death will be there. If you know how to leave the body at will, the sting of death will be gone, you see. Kabir says, the people are afraid of hearing the name of death. Each one would like to stay an hour or so more, you see. But he says, why? Why is he afraid of hearing? Because one thing, he does not know how to leave the body. He is passed to the agony of death. The breathing stops. He is just gurgling inside, you see. First thing, he does not know how to leave the body. And the other thing, he does not know where to go. He does not know who is to accompany him. There is no guide. But if he has sat at the feet of some master, some adept in that way, he would have given him the first and experience how to come above the body consciousness day to day, at will. Such a man naturally would not feel sad, but feel joy, you see. When you transcend the body, well, higher planes are the house of our God, our Father is more beautiful than the world, you see. Creator is more beautiful than all creation. You come above, rise above the physical body and see yourself. You have got experience of the beyond where you have to go. To such a man, that he says, well, I am overjoyed at hearing the name of the death of death, because I see I am united with go to my true home forever, won't return. So that's the difference between the two, you see. One man is dying in agony, leaving the body. The other man is rejoicing over his death. But the vast difference between the two. The difference is due to the fact the one has learned how to leave the body at will, how to transcend it to beyond, has the first experience of that man. Such a man will rejoice. Joyful will be in the body, but say the name of it. Dead. And the other man who has not worked that way, he is simply dreading the name of death. But at the time of death, what is happening? Soul leaves, begins to leave the body, how to withdraw, he knows it not, but that drags out, increase his excruciating pain, passing through the agony of death. Nobody is there to help. How dreadful it is. At the same time, I will tell you that there is no bugbear, but we have to pass through it. We have to leave the body. Would it not be wise to solve the mystery of life now and just have the person see how to transcend the body and the feet of somebody who is can put you on the way, give you personal experience of that. And we put in so much time in the other way, well, how much time you have put this way. We are simply considered that spirituality lies in attending some holy places of worship, reading some scriptures, performing certain rituals or ceremonies, and that's right. Well, that is the elementary ground. The preparation of it, way back to God. Unless you know how to transcend the body, know yourself, you are not peaceful. So you say we have dealt with on the values of life, you see? Well, body is more valuable than all possessions you have got. And your life is still more valuable than your body. We are caring so much about the possessions. In the messing the world, we are caring so much to maintain your body, but you do care little or nothing about your own very self. On account of it, the body is moving. So long as that is the other of the whole, which is your own self, resides within the body, everybody respects you. When the companion of life is gone out, what do you say? This is the only one, hurry up. Put it to the cremation ground. We have got no time. Hurry up, please. There's no time left. You have to attend to other duties as well. Such life is it. 2 days you are just right in life. Remember you, but they remember you can't attend to. Only such a man who has just found that duty of life is competent that way, he might be able to help you even after that. Or at the time of death. But if you sit at his feet, he gives you first an experience, that is what is meant by initiation, you see? He gives you first an experience how to content the body. When you, by day-to-day practice, you learn that, then all that fear of death is gone. What the Master says, you see? Man body, the highest of all creation, you see? In the man body we have discrimination. We can just discriminate between the real and the unreal. We can stick to the real and avoid the unreal. But in no other creation, after getting the man body, you are not knowing yourself, who you are, you are the indweller of the house, and you do not come in contact with the God overhead. You know, do not know yourself, you do not know your God, while having the man body. Well,